Hello, everyone. My name's Adam. I have been a London Walks guide for 15 years. Man and beast, 15 years. And I'm here today because we're all stuck at home. We can't go outside. So I'm coming round your house to guide a tour, or to tell you a little bit about the tours that I love to do most of all. I lead tours all over London, but my very favourite tours to lead are London music tours. I'd like to tell you a little bit about how I do those tours. A few years ago, while leading a Beatles tour for the famous London Walks Company, I witnessed a most memorable thing. I was chatting with my lovely group at Abbey Road. We were just about to wind up the tour at the world's most famous crosswalk, when I caught something out of the corner of my eye. A woman in a red coat was crossing the Abbey Road zebra crossing. So far, so ordinary, she was one of about 15 to 20 people gathered to get that famous holiday snap. But she stood out in her red coat. It was one of those flat London days with a white sky. The sky is white here in London. Irving Berlin couldn't have composed his famous song here. White skies shining at me doesn't have the same ring. I noted that the woman in the red coat crossed the zebra crossing from the famous album sleeve more than once. And I also noticed that no one seemed to be taking her picture. Back and forth she crossed, again and again and again. At first I thought she was smoking. I thought she had a cigarette or a vape in her hand. But then when I looked closely, the smoke or the vapour wasn't rising. It was falling. And then it dawned on me. She was scattering ashes. It made me reflect on why people come to join me on music tours here in London. Those of us who love music and allow it to grow wild in our lives, well, it ends up growing up the walls, in the windows, under the roof tiles, and into the very foundations of who we are. Noel Coward, one of my very favourite songwriters, penned the famous line, "Strange how potent cheap music is." And this potency, I think he's absolutely right, this potency comes from us, the music fans, allowing music into our lives and letting it become our personal soundtrack. The track that played when we had our first kiss. The ever-present hit song that blared out of every radio, every cafe, every passing car in that immortal summer of your youth. The music to which you walked down the aisle. The music for your funeral. Famously on this last point, the comedian and actor Peter Sellers demanded that Glenn Miller's In the Mood be played at his funeral simply because he hated it. It was the worst song of all time. He hated it so much, and if he was dead, then he didn't want anyone else having a good time either. These musical triggers, these sonic Madeleine moments become embedded in our memories. And memories make us rich. I took a big trip last year, a big musical trip. My wife Karen and my daughter Isabella organised a trip to the United States. I had a big birthday last year. I was 50, or 30-20, as I like to call it. This year I'm 30-21, and so on. We went from Chicago to New Orleans and all points in between, looking for and finding with great ease music all along the way. In Chicago, I visited the Le Sable Museum of African American History. The story of all pop music begins in chains and persecution. In St. Louis, I visited the only surviving home of the great ragtime and opera composer Scott Joplin. It was in St. Louis that I faced the Mississippi River for the very first time. I put the toe of my boot to its shimmering hem, and the spiritual song "Wade in the Water" filled me up. At my back stood the courthouse where they sold the slaves. In Paducah, Kentucky, I called in at the Hotel Metropolitan, a former safe house on the Chitlin Circuit for African-American musicians. To walk those near-empty roads to the Metropolitan as a stranger, albeit a privileged white holidaymaker in the 21st century, is to understand but a flake of apartheid. Mahalia Jackson, singing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee," was with me every step of the way. I stood by Elvis's grave in Memphis, Tennessee. I've never wept so often on a holiday in my life, this time because Elvis's house, Graceland, it's so small. It's a poor guy's idea of what a big house is, and it broke my heart and made me love Elvis all the more. In Nashville, I laughed and laughed and laughed. What a place. My dad loved country music, and it was him, my old dad, playing Ring of Fire on his accordion on a Saturday afternoon in the drab 1970s, who was there with me at the Grand Ole Opry. In New Orleans, I got down on my knees at Congo Square, where the slaves would play and dance on Sundays in the 18th century. And I felt the full force of tour guiding cliche crashing down upon me in that glib phrase, "This is where it all began." There's nothing left of Congo Square of the 18th century, thank God, a wicked place. In its stead stands Louis Armstrong Park, with statues of African-American musicians and a great concert hall. It's a place of celebration. But in being there, in absorbing the location, I genuinely believe it deepened my understanding of the music that I love. And I realise that you guys are coming to see me in London because you laughed, you cried, you kissed, loved, lived and died to the music of The Beatles or George Frideric Handel or Lionel Bart. And you want to be in the places where they laughed and cried and lived because their music is part of your story. And your visit will become another scene, another chapter in that story. And it will be my privilege to have a literal walk-on role. Come and join me on a music tour here in London as soon as you can.